Couple of moments of comeuppance today. Former President Jacob Zuma has lost his appeal against the personal costs order against him by the Pretoria High Court when he challenged the state of capture report. And the Supreme Court of Appeal has given a punitive costs order against Zuma at attorney and client scale. So Jacob Zuma is going to be facing a massive personal legal bill. Another person who could be facing a big bill is Marcus Yuster. We're now nearly 3 years on, hard though that is to believe, since the collapse of Steinhoff, December 2017. Today, the Financial Sector Conduct Authority revealed that Yuster would be liable for a penalty of 121 million rand for insider trading under the Financial Markets Act. That could rise to 161 million. Yuster's personal liability. He wasn't taking advantage of insider trading, according to this charge sheet, if I can call it that, but he did give advice to others who took advantage of it, and that is illegal. Is this money he'll be forced to pay? What is the process here? No one knows better the Yuster case than Rob Rose, editor of Financial Mail, the author of a very good book, Steinheist. I enjoyed it. Gave me a very clear insight into exactly what happened at Steinhoff, and what we don't know, and there's still plenty that we don't know, and how it all unraveled. Rob Rose joins me now, editor of Financial Mail. Rob, very good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
This move by the Financial Sector Conduct Authority, it seems to me it's the first sort of sharp stick that has actually been prodded at Marcus Yuster.
Yeah, and it's a good thing, because at the moment we've seen no criminal action. You know, the hawks haven't so much as buzzed the front doorbell at Marcus Yuster's house, so it's good to have some kind of responsibility and accountability finally laid at his door.
Now, the Financial Sector Conduct Authority is not a body that lodges criminal proceedings. So this is what, a civil action or a regulatory action? Where does this sit?
Yeah, it's a regulatory action. I mean, they basically levy penalties. But, you know, insider trading itself under the Financial Markets Act is a criminal activity. So what happens now is that they forward this finding off to the National Prosecuting Authority, and it should lead to criminal sanction later. But, you know, given how long the NPN Hawks have been sitting on that case or working on that case, to be generous, who knows when that'll actually happen. But it is quite an open and shut case from the charge sheet we saw today.
Okay, so it's an open and shut case. He gets this as a regulatory fine. If he doesn't pay, is that then a criminal offence, or does it remain within the regulatory framework?
Well, this is actually a criminal offence. The Financial Markets Act, insider trading, people do go to jail for this.
Okay.
So it's just that the NPA and the Hawks have to actually bring that case, and considering how slack they have been in terms of accountability for the sign-off case, it'll take a while, but certainly there should be criminal prosecution for the insider trading itself.
There is
one other factor, yeah. Sorry, which is that, you know, he can appeal this, and Marcus Yuster has shown no aversion at all to dragging out any legal action. So it could potentially go all the way to the Constitutional Court at some stage.
Is there any evidence that Yuster is short of money? I presume he has this kind of money buried away somewhere.
That is the $161 million question, $161 million rand question.
Yeah.
I don't think we know quite how much money he does have. You know, a large part of his wealth was in various murky and opaque accounts and structures. So I don't think there's any insight yet as to how much of the alleged, takings from the fraud or anything that he would have had and where it's based. I mean, he certainly still has various properties, but his personal company, I think Mayfair, was liquidated. So it's unclear at this point exactly how much he has to settle any debt.
Rob, what other criminal charges, in your view, should he be facing? Insider trading is almost a technical thing, and to most of us looking at it, that would be, given that he didn't benefit from it personally, it's a relatively minor offence. Surely there's a bigger scale thing in terms of fraud.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. There's the financial markets, the actual financial fraud in the company is massive. I mean, essentially, over the course of a decade, the profits were inflated at Steinhoff by 100 billion rand, 106 billion rand. So that's a scale of deception that is unique in South African history. And you'd think that there'd have to be consequences for the fraud in that. And there's a giant PwC investigation that supposedly puts him as the mastermind of that fraud. So that's a far bigger thing. But I do think the insider trading thing isn't small. I mean, essentially, we have a stock market that is supposed to be operate within the rules. And if people, like CEOs of companies, are tipping off people when to sell shares, when to buy shares, because they think the share price might fall or rise, that is actually a big thing. It comes down to the credibility of our markets and whether you can believe what our executives are saying. And it's about accountability, too, for our executives, I think.
What about globally? Is there any possibility of criminal action in Germany and Netherlands, two jurisdictions that are involved for accounting reasons?
Yeah, well, actually, it was the Germans who first started investigating the case. And that actually sparked the events that led to his resignation in December 2017. But the German prosecutors have since, sat back and let the South Africans lead the way, given the fact that we had the PwC investigation in this country. And I suppose they thought that as a South African originated company, that the South African authorities would be more keen to take the lead in the prosecution. So I think that there is certainly a possibility of culpability in Germany and Netherlands and actually other countries across the world. But I think that at the moment, most authorities are relying on the South Africans to lead the way, which is perhaps a little more faith in our prosecuting authority than they should have.
Okay. Anyone other than Juster who, in your view, should be in the firing line? He's obviously the man who symbolizes the whole thing and clearly led the process. Is there anyone else who should be fearing criminal prosecution?
Well, the PwC investigation, they haven't released the full report yet, but they did release a précis of it. And in that executive summary, it did name a group of, I think, about 10 former executives as well as people outside Steinhoff who were part of the fraud. And I think that they're various guys, lawyers and various people like that who've seen their names in the public and I think will certainly be, if they were wise, trying to cut a deal with prosecutors.
Rob, thank you very much indeed. Do appreciate it. Editor of the Financial Mail and author of Steinheist. I do recommend it. It's a good book. I found it a good read. A lot of the South African nonfiction in the political arena and the financial arena at the moment is disappointing. It's hard to read. It's not well put together, not well edited. But Steinheist is an exception. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good overview of a complex subject. And the interesting thing was, as you read it, you learnt how it could happen. You're a bit incredulous from the outside. You think, well, how did anybody not know? How could this happen? How could this get to this scale? But the way Rob tells the story, you see exactly how it happened. And this off-balance sheet accounting and all the stuff that went into one of the biggest financial scams in South African history. Hard to believe, hey? 3 years ago in December, that the whole house of cards came tumbling down.